Yeah, we do. And I apologize. I let the department heads leave because I thought an hour and a half of sitting around.
But they are all.
But they're all, you know, on the call.
So just make sure you talk to your microphone.
Are we ready to go? Okay, we welcome everyone back into our regular session. We will go ahead and move forward with a regular session agenda. The next item on the agenda is consideration of ordinance 2021-02, an ordinance granting an electric utility franchise agreement and general utility easement to Rocky Mountain Power. Ken?
Thank you, Mayor. We have, I believe, Steve Rush will try to get in on the call if he's coming. I texted him that we would be, let him in at 9 o'clock. Anyway, we have a current franchise agreement with Rocky Mountain Power, which allows them to work within city public rights of way, just like we do with other public utilities. The agreement is approved in 5-year increments, and so it expires May 17th of this year. It was approved last in 2016. And so this action will renew that agreement for an additional 5-year term. As I indicated in the staff materials, the proposed agreement is identical in substance to the existing agreement. They also added what I thought was a terrific phrase in and made it more clear. In section 1 of the agreement, they specifically exempted city public parks and city properties with buildings on them. And so I thought that was favorable to us. And if Rocky Mountain Power has a need to come through a city park, then they'll just come and ask us to do that. And so I thought that was a good change so that they don't just have a blanket franchise agreement to, you know, go right through a city park or whatever they want to do there. So anyway, we're recommending approval. This is done by ordinance as it was done 5 years ago. And so that's how it's been put together for your consideration.
I'm assuming we can just have a motion.
It's just
Mr. Rush,
motion.
I wouldn't think would want to address this. We'd welcome if he wants to, but are there any questions or comments? Again, we're just renewing this. Is there a motion to approve this?
Can I just ask one question?
Yes.
I mean, it's kind of a ridiculous hypothetical, but what if a city didn't renew this? Would they just shut the power off and go home?
Yeah, that's a great question. So state law has some protections built in it for public utilities, and maybe actually Councilmember Baskin knows more about this than I do, perhaps, because it's kind of a legal question. But these public utilities are, they have a right to the same franchise agreement that we have granted to other public utilities, essentially. And so the current state of affairs is, I suppose if you wanted to cancel all of your public utility franchise agreements, you could, but to do one at a time would violate, you know, their right as a public utility.
That would make us really popular, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, it would. It wouldn't help things around here if we did that. So,
Mayor, I'll hurry and make a motion. Okay. So the City Council approved ordinance number 2021-02, an ordinance entering into a franchise agreement with Rocky Mountain Power.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Let's go ahead and do a roll call. Ray?
Aye.
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 So that motion passed unanimously. The next item on the agenda is consideration of resolution 2021-09R, a resolution approving an agreement for consulting services for the preparation of general plan amendments to the city's water and storm drain master plans, along with some other things. Ken?
Thank you, Mayor. This project means a lot to me. It's a project we've been working on for a long time. I first recommended this to the council earlier this last year in 2020. I believe right now it's a critically important project for us to engage in because of the challenges facing the city today. We may have thought 5 years ago that we were going to stop growing and not undergo some of the changes that we predicted in our master planning by adopting a land use plan that we did. But that, in fact, has not been the case. And we are continuing to grow, and we absolutely have a need. I can't recommend this strongly enough to the city council that we have a need to revise our master plans for water and storm drain. Just briefly, the activities that you would be paying a consultant to do, to perform, would be to look at your source and supply issues, so wells, and in this case, Bowen Collins has proposed a portion of the project would be to look very specifically at our wells, the conditions of our wells, and the suitability of our wells, storage, distribution, our future growth projections, water modeling, our capital facilities plans, and they would create new plans which would be consistent with impact fee statutes. We would have an impact fee ordinance produced out of this project for both water and storm drain. They will be performing consumer rate studies and developing conservation strategies for us in our secondary or our irrigation system. So these are all pieces of things that we've said we want to do. Some of this has been on our action item assignment list for a long time. And so we are now prepared to award a bid to a firm to do this project. The funding comes from three different funds, the Culinary Water Fund, Secondary Water Fund, and our Storm Water Fund. And the total cost is $231,725. These activities are all eligible for the use of impact fees. Let me just briefly say that we held an open house. In the process of doing this, the staff put together quite a bit of work for interested firms. We had 11 firms that expressed interest in the request for proposals that we published back in at the end of the year. Last year, we held an open house, a virtual open house. We set up a question and answer portal. We had an electronic location where we shared many, many documents with our respondents. We had three firms that submit formal proposals to us in response to the RFP: Gilson Engineering, Hanson Allen and Luce, and Bowen Collins. And then finally, as you know, the mayor and I, David Franson, Paul Otteson, and Janice Larson, conducted an hour-long interview with each of the firms. They're all very qualified and very skilled. They could all do the work. But we felt that overall, Bowen and Collins submitted the most comprehensive proposal and fit best what we needed and in our budget. And also I would say the mayor said I tricked him into participation. So maybe that's helpful to you. I don't know. But he did say that at the end. He said I tricked him into being part of the selection process. So anyway, that's just a little levity because I was getting a little serious there. I would recommend this in the strongest terms. This is work that our city really needs an outside party to help us sort through where we are. We have competent engineers on staff. In this city, we have a city engineer, an assistant city engineer, a staff engineer, and other support staff. But I think from time to time, it's good for communities to get some outside eyes on a service area that's as important as water and stormwater. So that's my proposal to the council. And we have lots of available cash in all three funds to pay for these activities.
Yeah, the only thing I would add to that is that was part of the process is that, you know, you get into it. We really do have a very complicated system where we have wells down below. It's just a complicated system with a bunch of different zones. And this will also help with our ability to look at our pricing water if we decide to do that as well. So anyway, are there any questions, comments, or is there a motion?
I'd like to make a motion. I move that the City Council approve resolution 2021-09R in an amount not to exceed $231,725.
I will second that, but my name's spelled wrong on the second page because I don't go by James Hood anymore.
Oh my goodness.
We're always confusing.
I know, right?
No, that's don't look to Linda. That's my fault. Sorry about that. Yeah, I mean, you know.
Okay. So we have a motion and a second for resolution 2021-09R. Any further discussion? All in favor by roll call?
Aye.
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 So that motion passed unanimously. The next item on the agenda is consideration of resolution 2021-05R, a resolution in support of the 2021 update to the Davis County Pre-Disaster Mitigation Plan and commitment to city participation. Ken?
Thank you, Mayor. This document is one that we're continuously working on in Davis County, but it is formally updated every 5 years. It's a federal and state required document that addresses potential risk and disasters in our county. The county has received a grant to prepare an update to the plan. The last plan was adopted in 2016, and we also participated in the preparation of that plan. The terms of the grant require all cities to participate by passing the attached resolution that was in your packet. There's no fiscal impact to the city, although we will have Allie Avery will be assigned to the project. She was the staff member who participated in the 2016 update as well, and she'll be working with county staff to complete the North Salt Lake portion of the plan. And we do have a technical piece of the plan where we describe the natural disasters which occur or could occur in North Salt Lake. And so it's important that we have a staff member who can do that on behalf of North Salt Lake in this county plan. The plan is also important because it allows us to make requests from FEMA or through FEMA for costs that are associated with disasters, such as the windstorm, which I would report we've successfully made our initial request officially through FEMA to FEMA through the state is actually how it works, and so we're in that process to be reimbursed for our costs on the windstorm. So anyway, this is a no cost resolution for the city, but very important for us to participate in.
Okay, thanks, Ken. Any further questions? If not, is there a motion?
I have a comment. You know, when they had the big disasters in Texas.
Well, can you get closer to the mic, Lisa, or maybe pull your mask?
There we go. Is that close? They said that they didn't need FEMA. All they had to do was find every Mormon available.
Well, we should make good use of Mormons around here too, I think.
I thought they were gone.
I just make one comment. I hope this issue we just talked about earlier tonight, where we've got a city boundary versus district emergency districts. I hope that works out so that we make sure that in a disaster that there's good communications going on between the city and the emergency preparedness people.
Yeah, thank you. And I would, along that line, council member, I have, the storm was a good opportunity for the five city managers in the South Davis area. That's the same cities that make up the fire district. We started to engage in some discussions about sharing resources, sharing equipment, sharing staff members, and I can say with some confidence that if we really needed to come together, all five of these public works departments would kind of become one department. I had calls and I reached out as well, because we learned early in that windstorm that Centerville was hit particularly hard. These managers all reached out to each other. It was amazing. I got calls from three out of the five managers, and I reached out to Centerville and Bountiful and Woods Cross just to find out how people were doing and what we could do to help. Even though we had a real struggle, the first 48 hours was very difficult for us. That was a challenge, but I'm really confident that at least on the city level, among the managers and the public works staffs, we have a good working relationship with all those cities. They would come to our aid as we would come to theirs. So
thank you.
Thanks.
Ken, I'll just say, you know, all joking aside, the church is going to have preparedness in place. And so
right.
It only makes sense for us to work with them.
Yeah.
And if they want to call it geographic boundaries or whatever,
yeah,
you know, and if it came down to, you know, if we got on Facebook and said, we need help as a city, we might get 10 people. But if the state president calls out, you know, 500 people are going to show up. And that's just mm-hmm. reality.
It's the reality. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we should work with them.
Okay, is there further discussion or is there a motion?
I'll make a motion, Mayor. I move that the City Council adopt Resolution 2021-05R supporting the 2021 update to the Davis County Pre-Disaster Mitigation Plan and committing to city participation with the following findings that are listed here on our motion.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? All in favor by roll call?
Aye.
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 So that motion passed unanimously. Next item is the consideration of a bid award for Foxborough Drive Street Reconstruction. Paul, are you on the line? Look at
yes,
there.
Can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear us, Paul?
Yes, I can. Okay, thank you. Okay, next slide, Linda. Okay, so this is the bid award for the Foxborough Drive reconstruction project. It's a very small project. It includes the roundabout at Fox Hollow and Foxborough, and it also includes the area in front of the Foxborough Drive Foxborough Elementary School. There is only one property owner who has a driveway on this project, and that is the school. I have talked to the school already. We will be doing this project. The project has to be done during the summer months when school is out. And they do have an administrative staff that comes there in the summer, but they will just use that driveway approach off of the Fox Hollow Park to get into their parking lot. But we will be shutting the whole road down. We have to do this. It's impossible to keep a roundabout open when you're doing a street reconstruction. You just don't have enough room to let traffic go by. I have talked to the contractor. He says the low bidder, and he has told me they should be able to have this thing buttoned up between 10 and 14 days. Next slide, Linda. Okay, these are just a couple pictures. You can see there's a lot of alligator cracking on this section. This is just a really terrible section that we've had on our plan for a few years, and it really needs to be fixed. So this is a total reconstruction. We'll be digging down approximately 14 feet, putting down a geo grid fabric, and some putting back road base and asphalt. Next slide.
You meant to say. I think you meant to say 14 inches, right, Paul?
What did I say?
14 feet.
Yeah, we're not going that deep.
We were thinking that's quite a trench.
Sorry about that. 14 inches. So we had 7 bidders on this job. That's always a good sign. We had a lot of bidders again. Once again, for the third street project in a row, Advanced Paving and Construction was the low bidder at $155,984. We just awarded them the Eagle Ridge project up by Montclair, and they were also the contractor who did the Eagle Ridge project from the Orchard Drive roundabout up to Parkview Drive last year. So we have experience with them. They're a good contractor. They've done a good job for us. And staff recommends that we award this to them. And you can see our existing budget on this job, which has already been approved by the city council, is $285,000. And it's good to have that extra in there because, again, we won't know until we dig it up how many soft spots we're going to hit. We always put a certain percentage of the total area for soft spots, but I remember about 5 years ago when we did that section of Foxborough Drive east of the roundabout there at Fox Hollow. We left the street open for traffic because of all the driveways there. And with all the traffic going on that road, they started pumping all the clays from down below were coming up through the road base. And that turned out to be way expensive. By closing the road, I'm hoping we won't have this problem this time, but if we do hit more soft spots than anticipated, that price could go up. Are there any questions?
If not, is there a motion?
I move that we award the Foxborough Drive street reconstruction from Foxborough Elementary School to Fox Hollow Drive roundabout to Advance Paving and Construction LLC for the price of $155,984.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? All in favor by roll call?
Aye.
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 So that motion passed unanimously. Okay. So let's go back to the work session then. Approval of the minutes. Any questions or comments on the minutes, or is there a motion to approve?
Motion to approve the minutes from February 2nd, 2021.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? So that passed unanimously. Anything on the action items? If there are, I invite you just to text or just email the council or text Ken or however you'd like to address it. Probably just email the council and we'll make sure we get them on or get any comments. Council reports, Ryan.
Yeah. Thank you, Lisa, for responding on the email chain. I really appreciate that. I don't know if everybody else is up to date on the light issue up at Tunnel Springs, but it's what I was wondering, and Ken, I didn't get to talk to you yet on this, is the light coming off the lights just vastly different than the plan we approved? Is that what the issue is?
I don't believe that we looked at a lighting plan per se, other than the 5 lights and the locations.
Because on the plan, I remember they had circles drawn under each light that showed where the light would go to, and none of them were close to any. I mean, it never appeared like they would have any sort of issue. I mean,
no circle showed going to anyone's yard.
Yeah.
So was it just a different plan than we saw?
I guess I don't know the answer to that. I would hope that it's not a different plan than what we saw. I don't think it's different. I think the issue is these residents can see the point source at least of one light. I also think the new LED lights that we have purchased, I've noticed that they have a decorative hood, which is a beautiful part of the fixture, but the actual light is flush with the bottom of the hood. So in the olden days of before LED, where we had an actual lamp, it was recessed up in the hood of the light. But now, if you go out and look at our LED lights, they're right at the base, and they are very bright. I think this is an issue we're going to have to deal with a little bit more. In this case, I've been up there myself twice. The lights along the trail that are parallel to the back property line appear to me to throw the light out towards the parking lot. And in fact, they've been shielded so that they're only 180 degrees, not 360. The light that's at the cul-de-sac does throw light across, and I believe that's the offending light, although I haven't asked Mr. Barlow that question.
Okay.
So there are technologies we can use. We can dim the lights. We can shield the lights further. There's lots of things we can do that are...
When we approved all these lights, I thought they were all dark sky compliant. So are they dark sky compliant?
I think they are.
They are. Okay.
Yeah, I think they are.
Yeah, I think the difference is I pulled up the stuff we looked at and approved.
Yeah.
Thanks to you.
Well, thank you for contacting me and working together with me on it.
But it doesn't say in here what kind of lights were going to be put in.
Right.
We knew that the type of the structure itself, but the LED or the white versus the soft, none of that was discussed. And so that was where it wasn't really something that we had decided, we had just assumed, not knowing that there would really be choices. I do think that it can be fixed. I think whether you change the lights out or you reduce the number of lights, but it was for sure dark sky compliant, but they're not recessed. The lights are right to the edge and it is very bright. And the people that I've been dealing with have been really, I think, proactive, but respectful, which makes it a lot easier to want to help them.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for you've been responding and mm-hmm. doing a great job.
Well, we have a good relationship with these residents. We've sold property to four of those residents along the park. And so, you know, we've been working with them. They're great folks. And so I think if any of us put ourselves in that situation, we'd all be bothered by the light as well. So, you know, it's not hard to respond.
When they built the new city hall, not this one, the one before, they had five lights that were aiming right at my house, the fire garage lights, and they were bright. So I didn't ever have to worry about feeling insecure in my yard because it was...
Well, that, you know, if I lived there, I obviously wouldn't want lights coming in my bedroom window, but I definitely would want the light to go right up to that fence.
Same yeah. here.
Because you don't want somebody just
yeah
and yeah
hiding in the dark peeking.
He has a gate that is unlocked that he can get in and out. So
yeah,
like the guy wouldn't even jump over the fence,
he
just walk in.
Yeah,
and it's not just the people that are driving around on the grass. There's in the summer, you know, there's a lot of people up there at night that you don't know what
patrol. All kinds of there's things. A lot of. There's a lot of activity up there that, you know, lights will be a deterrent against. So well, that's a good thing.
So to follow up on this, I think one thing that, and I think Lisa commented it really well in your email, is that when we discussed this park earlier, this was the beginning of the lighting plan for the park. We were going to expand lights, you know, into the tennis courts, into the actual park itself, and around the walking loop, and some of those things. And COVID's really changed the way people use public space. And it seems like, I'm on a public trail every night now. And so are so many other of my neighbors, because where else are you going? And so I just think Tunnel Springs has probably only increased in usage. And it's probably worth relooking at a comprehensive light plan for the park. So on another update, the fence smelling technology, essential oil releasing on the fence line of the sewer treatment plant. So Dal Wayman's been reaching out to me. It's been installed for 3 weeks now, 2 weeks. And I'd like to say it's helping. So occasionally you get a medium smelling wave instead of a terrible smelling wave. So you can tell that it's doing something. So it hasn't solved the offense, right? But it's definitely changed the way it is. And I'd say that it's to a lesser extent than it has been. But
kind of like a cheap motel, they allow smokers and they go in there and spray something.
Yeah, you know, like you're outside and all of a sudden someone sprayed like an aerosol can near you and you're like, oh, that's really powerful. I don't know if it's like terrible. It's just really powerful.
It's right? Like the Febreze sewer smell.
Yeah, yeah. So I know they're doing something, and I'm really thankful that they haven't given up on this issue. You know, as I think about all of the things that I've done in the last 8 years on the council, you know, there's only a handful of things that I just vehemently regret beyond belief, and that is by far the number one issue that is, it never should have been approved.
But you know, you got to give yourself a pass on that because you actually went to the facility out of state. You did your homework ahead of time. You were concerned about it. You paid all the attention. The truth is somehow something didn't work, but it wasn't because you didn't look into it. In other words,
I know, but
unforeseen complication, I really think.
I remember jumping out of the car, running to smell every single section of that. This poor mayor was just sick of me running around smelling everything, but I knew this would be the biggest issue if it ever turned out wrong, and it is the biggest issue, so it's just too bad. But it's getting better.
So how often would you say this happens?
So it's less significant. So what I'm thinking is the fence line smell reduction is probably working for the less offensive waves, and then if there's just one that's overpowering, then it makes it through. Because it used to be like two or three times a day, and now it's like two times a week. So
that's,
I mean,
better.
It's been significantly improved.
So how bad is the smell? Does it make you want to like throw up?
Oh, before the fence technology was in, yes. Mm. I mean, I got this great picture. I was going through pictures in the book of a Band-Aid taped over my daughter's nose because she didn't want to go outside without having everything reduced, right? And so there'd be times where you'd walk outside your door just to throw something in the garbage, and you'd just turn around and say, I'm throwing that away later. Like, it's just not worth walking 4 feet
by garbage can
because it's so bad, right? And you just have, you're like, the 3 seconds I opened the door were 3 seconds too long because now it's going to get inside, right? It was so bad. And I haven't had any of those instances since the fence line's been installed, but it would be doing it a disservice to say, like, there are no smell issues, but it's so much better than it was. Now, if I was new to the neighborhood and you're like, what is that? You wouldn't remember the bad 18 months of terribleness, but it really has been.
Everybody's wearing masks now, so it cuts down.
Ryan, I had this on my thing because someone was new to the neighborhood and they were saying, what is that horrible smell? And I've never smelled it, but I am sure getting tired of reading about it on Facebook. I thought, so I was going to bring it up. We kind of put them on notice. They've tried a few things. Are we there? Are we convinced they've done all they can do and it's as good as it's going to get? And
the last time I smelled it is when I dropped a gift off to Ryan's house. Oh, this is bad.
It might be worth another legal review with our new city attorney.
Obviously we're all in the same boat from a sense that we get to pay for it. Whatever we do, we get to pay for. So it'd be nice if it worked great and made money and all that. And
I think the rate increase has added insult to injury.
It definitely has.
And you know, it's when it spills over to the city staff, you know, then I know there's a lot of complaining going on because they always call you guys first. Yeah. And then, you know, but that's something we've heard complaints about.
It happened to have a really bad smell day on the day you got your bill. So it was the day the bill hit, you know, and it was $30 originally every 6 months, and it's 90 now.
And then it's right.
And the day the increase hit, we had a wave come through, and it was you know, it was just insult to injury. It was a bad day to have it hit. Now, I almost wonder if it's worth having some, you know, one time Dal talked about having community outreach that he was going to hire and, you know, try to just communicate with complaints, because he was getting personal cell phone calls, right? He's doing a great job. And I don't think that ever followed through and was completed. And so it might be interesting to see what's happening from something like that. And, you know, I think one of the things we've noticed is that the really loud complainers are the same people that are complaining, but everybody else that's upset is just kind of, you know, upset. But they're not going to call right now because they don't want to inconvenience one person, or they've already told me 5 times that they're bothered. And I almost wonder if we somehow did an outreach to say, hey, how often do you smell this? Or how impacted have you been on a scale or something to really know what the impact is? Maybe it's really isolated. I am on the far south side,
yeah,
you know, really close to the plant. And so I'm sure my neighbors are, you know, unduly adversely affected compared to other parts of the city. And so maybe I just get an overabundance earful.
Yeah, I mean, I think he'd be willing to hire somebody. We can talk to him, but because people aren't complaining, he doesn't think there's a problem.
Yeah, and I think it's because...
I mean, I go to the meetings, and he says, well, I haven't heard any problems from anybody. I think we're doing okay. And then I say, well, I talked to Ryan, and he says they're still having problems.
Yeah, I think people have complained, and so it's kind of like, well, I already complained about that 18 minutes ago. It's like, well, you got to complain again because the message isn't getting through. I do think, not to harp on that, the new technology I think is significantly helping, but I don't think it's a silver bullet either. So.
I was hoping for a silver bullet.
I know, I was too. We need some werewolf killing bullets here. So, okay, those are all of my items.
Natalie?
I also went up to Mr. Barlow's house, and I don't want to beat a dead horse, but when he and I talked, the cul-de-sac light had been turned off, and he really appreciated that, but the other lights were still coming through his backyard. So he suggested while we were there, maybe shortening the poles.
Shortening the what?
Like the poles are like 40 feet tall, right?
No, they're not 40 feet
tall. How tall are they?
14 feet
tall. No, they're way taller than 14.
We're not shortening poles. That's not going
to
happen.
I just think that would be a way to like make them look like streetlights and then still get the effect.
Yeah, well, I think there are two technologies that have the most promise before we spend thousands of dollars
to shorten the poles. I think a shield would
work. Do something different. One is shielding, physically shielding the lights. And the second is an interesting one that John Rueckert's looking at, which is adding a dimming technology during certain times, which would reduce the intensity of the light, but still provide security.
Smart. Okay. Then my other thing was that the Youth Council is now meeting weekly, and they're fabulous, doing a great job. They had a service project today. And also that I have been invited to and have joined with the Communities That Care group that is working with Davis Behavioral Health for the Woods Cross, Bountiful, and Beaumont feeders area. So they're just getting that kicked off. I think our second meeting is going to be later this month. Do you guys know what that is?
Well, I do because I was in the training last week.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you know what it is. It's like, it's the suicide preparedness, not suicide preparedness, prevention, the things that really
it's helping
middle schoolers youth, and yeah. High schoolers are struggling with mental health.
Yeah.
What's it called again? Sorry.
Communities That Care.
So you're on the board? Is it you're saying?
So I'm, they have two different groups. And I'm on the top group, but there's like 40 people on the top group.
But you represent our city, or are you representing with the YCC?
I'm representing, well, I was asked to do it by the chief.
Oh, good. Okay.
So I don't think I'm actually like everything I say represents everything in North Salt Lake, but I am there like as a liaison to bring stuff back.
Good.
Is this the one that Mrs. Baxter's doing? She was.
I don't know who that is.
Okay. Because we met. Mayor and I met with her last year, wasn't it?
It's new people.
I think it might be the same one.
The same group. sounds very
similar. It's the one they started up in North Davis County. And so they had a group up in North Davis County, and they're starting it down here.
Yeah, the Layton group is really, really active.
Yeah, and
I was hired by the Davis County to run it.
Right, and I think her name is Baxter.
Around trying to get the cities involved, and then that's when COVID hit, and I don't think we really didn't meet with her again or anything, but it sounded very similar. I mean, it sounded like what you're talking about.
She's meeting with me and Mayor Earnshaw in about 2 weeks, I think. So, I went to the trainings are there. They need lots of volunteers, and so we can send this out, and if people are interested in being involved, then we can get it to you. Right now, it seems like they're kind of going through the school districts a lot. I think it would be a good idea to go ahead and get the rec district and the food pantry and the cities involved, because I just think there's a lot to... A lot we could, if we engage everybody rather than just going through the schools, it'd be better.
A lot of needs out there.
Stan?
My next. I don't have a lot to bring up, but I kind of got excited again about our city history. And I do that from time to time. somebody gave me a challenge, I guess. They saw a post from several years ago that we had out there. And so I dug into some more and I got more excited about it. But, I'm just wondering if it might be time, and we can bring up this up in our budget discussion. But this year is our 75th year of a city, and we really haven't planned a lot. I know the mayor brought it up for a little bit, but I'm wondering if we might put a little in the budget to actually have a professional kind of help me. I've got a lot of material, but I've tried to get volunteers and committee members to help. And there have been some out there that have kind of asked, but they really don't have the time to. Well, yeah, I don't know. I haven't tested them that far. So it's hard to say. But that's just something I just thought to throw out there, since we're going to have a budget discussion on Saturday on that. But I don't have a lot more.
Ken, how much does an intern cost if we wanted to get an intern, a history intern, to help us put that together?
I'm not sure. A typical intern would be something like $12 to $15 an hour for something.
There's several approaches, and I was going to do a little research maybe before Saturday, but, sometimes you just go out and hire a company or somebody just do a book. Which ends up being, the web pages and the book.
I do think that if you got the right motivated young person, like maybe someone in college, offered them an internship, they would probably have design skills. If you have the skills, just about anybody can put a book together and publish it.
There's right. If they have a little bit of the skills, and especially if they've got kind of like a history major or something.
That might be a good place to look.
But I've got a whole bunch of material, and it's fun to go through and some of the stories. One of the things I read the other morning, I was kind of looking up the date when they incorporated in the county, I had to prove the city and everything. And the first thing on their agenda was, and this, they're talking about the council or the board, I guess they called them the board back then, but the board's talking about changing the city's name. So I thought that was kind of fun to see.
Well, it was South Bountiful then, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't know why they didn't bring up a name, but I think they were kind of, the county was kind of rubbing when they made the approval for the city, was kind of feeling a little bit territorial and rubbed that it included the name Salt Lake in there. And that, somebody made the comment like, we don't have anything to do with Salt Lake. Why
don't we make it a really pretty name like North Salt Lake?
but the name, actually, you look at the history, came along long before this city incorporated. It was the name of the post office. It was the name of where the Cudahy packing plant was. And the stockyards was the Salt Lake Union Stockyards. So, it was interned before the cities decided to.
Stan, I have a question. So, our commissioner mentioned 75 years of the library system, but where this is our 75th year as a city.
Yeah.
This year, And one of the things Parks and Arts Board is trying to figure out ways to celebrate the 75th year. And maybe one of the ways to celebrate would be to release the history. And if we do an intern or do something, have that released as part of our Liberty Fest or something, right? And to tie that in with our 75th anniversary. And if you hired an intern for a handful of months to get something ready and then released it and announced it as part of Liberty Fest, you know, it's hard to come up with. How do you celebrate 75 years?
Well,
when
I tell you how we did 50 years, because I was around for that. And we had quite the celebration, actually. We had a parade, and we had...
At Costco.
You heard the request for a team member at 20.
No.
Stan, do you have one of the ones you're 25?
I bet, yeah, I do. I got a little...
Linda got a
several
call
of the different
for a 75th commemorative.
When we did that, but...
Better.
Yeah, I've got several of them actually.
Yeah. Texas.
But it was interesting. We had, last time we had a parade. I remember the parade and who was in charge of that? There were several people. Anyway, turned out it was a fun time. A lot of those people are dead now, unfortunately. But anyway, that's my report.
Brian.
Well, I was going to ask if anyone knew about a smell out in Foxborough, but I'll pass on that one. I'm a big advocate that government should do nothing that the private sector is able to do. Having said that, I'm getting really tired of people complaining about internet in our city.
Amen.
Can we put the private sector on notice that we will fire them all and start drinking the purple utopia Kool-Aid? I don't know. I assume every time I hear about someone, they're, well, yeah, we're going to put fiber in Foxborough because it's more economical. They can close, but. We're getting bad internet in a lot of the city, and I don't know what to do about it, but people look at us and go, how come? What are you guys doing about it?
And the demand has gotten higher.
No doubt. And
yes.
I'm
watching so much Netflix.
Yeah.
So one thing I wonder, and it doesn't quite work this way unless you had a utopia provider, but to require new construction, you know, we have a road, whatever you call it now, my brain's spacing, but they have to update our road to the right specs, right? They have to have so many more feet and move the sidewalk. And what if one of the requirements was a fiber connection or of some sort of whatever a technician could come up with? I don't want to require some horse and buggy thing, but it seems like we have a lot of new construction coming in and yet they all have terrible internet every single time. And you'd think, you know, they're just spending all the money to put in a brand new construction. They could run a line when they already have the road dug up and they already have all the ground dug up to run it in. And it wouldn't fix the problem today, but it would start to fix the problem. But I don't know how that would even work.
Could you put that in the development agreement?
What we can do is we can adopt a standard for new construction, which would require anything we want, well, within reason. I mean, we could require conduit. Mm-hmm. We could require,
That'd be,
you know, I'm a little bit concerned about requiring fiber optic line in advance of the existence of a system to connect it to, but certainly we could require conduit, a dedicated pipe in the ground so that when fiber comes along,
right,
all they have to do is slide it through the pipe, you know.
Because both of the fiber providers that were going to provide it to Foxborough never made it, right? And Echo's fiber company kind of failed and isn't really running the same way that they were. And I think you're totally right. The free market hasn't quite caught up yet with the demand.
So I think there's several things to do. We could do. to try to make a better decision or to make any decision, because we haven't made any. We could reach out to Google Fiber. We could reach out to Utopia again. We could reach out to other providers and just see what's out there. What would be required? What would we have to, I mean, we sort of know that Utopia would require us to backstop them.
Yeah, the only way to do Utopia is to require every, it's kind of like the rec center. We all pay for it whether we use it or not. And
yeah, actually, if the council was willing to require a charge of all of every resident, Utopia is a great option.
I think the technology is changing so dang fast.
Yeah. The other thing we could do.
Oh, I've sat here a dozen times over the last dozen years and said, I am so grateful that my predecessors did not get us in Utopia.
Yeah.
I still feel that way.
Yeah. But
well, the other thing we could do as a suggestion is we could set aside some dollars, hire a consultant to look at our city and tell us what options we have. And some cities are having success doing their own systems, but we're talking tens of millions of dollars in capital bonding.
Well, I'll even throw out the question, is it city government's responsibility to make sure they have good internet in their cities?
Well, maybe with COVID it was. Maybe
well, I think in Kaysville they voted for it.
Kaysville is the most recent example where,
yeah,
where the
they
citizens
did think
voted
it was the city's
it.
Responsibility.
Yeah.
So maybe we use that.
Kaysville join Utopia?
No, they've
gone on their own, actually.
Maybe we use our Qualtrics.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are you willing to give up your Xfinity if we go a different route?
Yeah.
Or something. Well, okay. I know the letter was addressed to you, Mayor, so I'll let you worry about it.
Just need to pass a law that kids can't get on the internet until 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Once they get home from school, it slows down.
I noticed at 8 o'clock, it's when everyone at 8, dinner's over, kitchen's clean.
I couldn't get on, and I finally shut my laptop down because I couldn't get internet. Yeah. Yeah, it's the Zoom call, I think.
Yeah. Here you can't get on? I thought we had fiber here.
We have internet.
Oh, okay.
We have a great system, but I think we're really loading fiber. It up.
The Mayor, the other thing I'd like to bring up, and
I was going to say, not the internet here.
A dozen years ago, maybe, Orrin Hatch came to the League of Cities and Towns convention in St. George. And so they gave him time to talk, and we'd been talking about budget issues in our cities, and he said, the federal government, believe it or not, we budget too, and the Congressional Budget Office gives us a number, and this next year we're going to take in $2.2 trillion in revenues, and we have, between Medicare and Social Security, that will take $2.2 trillion. And so if the Department of Education wants to buy a pencil, or the Department of Defense wants to buy a bullet, we have to borrow the money to do it. And that left an impression on my little mind, like what a tough go that is. But so with our budget retreat coming up, I just wanted to say, so there's things that the city does, and they do it well. We plow the streets, we deliver water, we pick up the garbage, and that takes like 90% of our budget. And then, or maybe even 95%, the little bit that's left over, we sit here and we go, well, so what would we like to do to make our city better? And it seems like, in my mind, there's no, there's little things, we could hire an intern for stance committee, but there are these big issues that we're dreaming about
you know. The wetlands in Foxborough. And we're kind of making progress, you know, but Hatch Park, well, we're making progress. Tunnel Springs Park, well, we're thinking about it. The golf course clubhouse needs a renovation. These all take big money. And so to answer Ken's question, so what's your budget? I want to do one of them. Let's just do one of them in 2021. Can we do Hatch Park?
You can do more than one. So Saturday, I think you're going to learn that we're in the best position we've ever been in to do some of those projects. So, and I hope that
and
we can talk about
along that line. So we got that email from Melissa Ballard. Hey, good news. Who thought that she was talking about the overpass on.
I totally thought it was the overpass. And I was like, woo!
Yay, great. And then I read it. It's like, yeah, we're tearing up I-15 for the next 10 years.
2025, we're going to be just you know, under construction.
It's like, so we'll plan on Highway 89 getting slammed in Redwood Road, I guess. Anyway, it'd be nice to. If the funding was going to 1100 North Bridge, but it's not.
No, I thought that too. I thought that too, and I didn't read it enough to find out until tonight.
Okay, that's all my rants for the night. Yeah.
I'm hoping that we'll have a really great retreat on Saturday because things are great right now. And there are solutions. We've been working on solutions for some of these funding. What you mentioned are funding. If we have funding solutions, we can do those projects. And so.
And it's so enormously expensive.
I mean,
we just spent $120,000, $25,000 doing 100 feet of road. You know, everything just costs so much. And it's hard to wrap your arms around it.
Lisa?
Plus, it's not very sexy to just put in a new road. You know what I mean? There are a lot of things that happen that nobody even notices, which is what cities do.
I had someone today at the gym say to me, go down to St. George and look at their park.
Can you get closer to your mics just so it'll be on the recording?
Go down and look at their parks in St. George. And I'm like, go look at their hotel taxes.
Yeah.
Or go to Bountiful.
Look at their population. They're all 78 and 90.
every home down there is a second home.
That's right.
Taxed at 100%.
10,000 square feet. I'm sorry. Okay. Natalie, I did pull this up. The size on that light is 20 feet right to where the light comes out. The full light is 24 feet.
Sorry, so. That's tall. Yeah, that's a lot taller than it.
But it's not 40.
It's not 40, but I have no concept.
Yeah.
Natalie, you just need to make sure you're in the mic.
Okay.
Unless you're shouting.
Just so you know if Barlow gets back to you. Okay. I talked to Laura Anderson. She works at my office, and she lives in our city. And there's two things. Laura has a son who has severe autism. And he's a really big kid, like 6'8", 6'10". And she has worked with him all her life. And she's involved in that whole area. And she mentioned to me today as I was leaving that the Utah State Legislature is going to approve mandated awareness and sensitivity training to autism individuals who are being arrested. And so she wanted to let the city know that if the police department wants to be trained with that, that they are signing up for classes now. All right. And she wanted maybe come to the city council to talk about it, but I don't really know if she needs to. I just wanted to alert everybody that there's going to be a much needed autism training for the police.
Lisa, can I interrupt? I'm sorry. I got the same message from Dave Copeland.
Oh.
Who's Officer Skinner's stepfather.
Uh-huh.
And Officer Skinner's kids are both autistic. And so he sent me this thing about a schedule for classes for autism awareness and law enforcement. And
into the mic,
probably
Natalie,
the same
I'm sorry.
Information. So I'll forward it on to the whole council.
Okay. Very good.
Yeah, why don't you send it to me and to Craig too, if you wouldn't mind. Or you could send it to me and I'll send it to everybody if you want.
I talked to the chief about that a little bit too, and he thinks it's a good idea and he's planning on it. He was a little concerned about the requirements that the state's kind of overseeing us and kind of, you know, they want lots of reports and making sure that we're getting the training and stuff, and mm-hmm. kind of understand that. But boy, he says there's a lot of bureaucracy and paperwork involved with it, and they've been doing training
yeah.
along that line anyway, but now they've got to just report a whole bunch more.
Yeah, well, it's definitely going to pass and be mandatory. But I think if we need that as a budget item, I mean, if you have to increase to pay for the funding or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, we'll
look into that so that we can make sure they get the course.
Chief, they do the training now.
In the mics, Dan.
Yeah, they do the training now, talking to him, and they've got it in the budget, and they've done it all along. But now they're just going to be that finger on them that says, now you've got to report it all, and it makes it kind of difficult because who's going to do all their paperwork? Because there's a whole bunch involved, he said. It's not just like a little report you'd send in, but you know, I'll hire a staff member just to report on the training that they're already doing. But anyway.
Yeah, I'm sure the chief would welcome that. I mean, we have to deal with it fairly often. I'd be surprised if we didn't have some training in it, but any additional help would be appreciated, I'm sure.
Yeah, he didn't say he was opposed to the training at all.
Okay. And then I'm getting a phone call and messages from somebody on Eaglewood Drive. The fence got broken down right by the Wood Museum, which was the kind of the concrete fence that's decorative. Was it an accident? Anyway, it's pretty much of an eyesore, and they keep calling and saying, who can help us with it? We need to get this fence put up.
Museum's an eyesore?
Yeah. Now the fence is down.
What?
They can see directly
yeah,
through
I haven't
it.
Called Bountiful City because I'm pretty sure that's in Bountiful.
That's what I told her. I said, it's not in our city. It's in Bountiful. But I also told her that the fence materials were actually provided by us back in the day with the help of Shanna Schaefemeyer. She made sure we had all of that fencing done. They're saying to them, I don't know who in the city is saying, but it's not the city's responsibility. Bountiful saying it's not our responsibility. It's the landowners. You can be sure the Wood Museum is not going to be repairing that fence.
It is the landowner's responsibility. And I'm sure that's what our staff has said if they've been asked. So,
right. So
sure
how
that's
can
what Bountiful staff has said. I mean, of course, if we want to do something about it, we could.
I think I do. I think we should fix that. I think it's one of the two main thoroughfares in the east side of town. We can't let that just sit like that.
Do we have a recourse against the landowner?
We do have a process for placing a lien on property.
We'd have to go through Bountiful to do it, but why don't we just talk to Gary Hill or whoever over in Bountiful and ask them just to follow up on it?
Yeah, and Wilford too. Yeah, because it's his cousins that are there. But yeah. it's got to get fixed, and it just will stay unfixed until we help out. And then the other thing is Laura Anderson, who I just mentioned earlier, she said she wanted a report that when we had the Centennial Drive, when we had the water break or something, and we had to repair the water line, she said that she was so impressed with the city, how it was handled. They all received notices up front. They made sure they had it done quickly. There was not a whole bunch of mess around her property. She said it was like so smooth. And it's always nice to hear when things are done well. So if you can pass that along to your road crew and public works.
We sure will.
She was so happy with the way it was handled. And we've learned over time.
Yeah, we've worked hard to get that public process in the right place.
Yeah, looks great. And she's.
But Lisa, when they were doing it above our house on Eaglewood, Linda baked them cookies and took them out. So.
Linda.
They do a better job for you if you feed them cookies. I mean, I know that too.
I don't have anything to report on the elderly, and that's it.
Okay, thanks, Lisa. I don't really have anything. We talked about the communities that care. The sewer district, you know, yeah, we just raised rates, and I think the settlements are pretty much approved with the city for the fines that we were getting. And the Wasatch Waste Recovery is struggling right now because they're still having a problem getting gas into the pipeline. So we'll have to see how that goes. Well, the gas scrubbers that they have, there were some problems with the installation that the subcontractor that put them in. They were just installed improperly, and we've been struggling trying to get the gas scrubbers back online. So,
is this the district or the, you said Wasatch Energy?
No, it's Wasatch Waste Recovery.
So it's the sewer plant.
It's the food to waste process.
The resource recovery plant Ryan wished he'd never approved.
I can reiterate that, but it's just the other legal entity that's trying to sell the gas, and it hasn't been successful yet.
Well, it has been successful at times, but they're having a problem with the scrubber right now. No. So,
and the algae is still not working.
So the algae, the.
Yeah. No kidding.
So where we are with the algae is that they had problems with toxicity at the south plant, and we were out of compliance in both the north and the south plant because they reduced the permitted phosphorus and ammonia, I believe, and so they decided to move the algae plant to the north plant first, and then we'll try and get it to the south plant later when we can try and figure out what's causing the toxicity problems.
Tough.
So that's all I have, Ken.
I have a really long report, which I will not do. Just to say this about the legislative session. I've been active in every city I've been working in the legislative session, and I have to say this session was one of the toughest on the legislature really kind of attacking local government with lots of there were over 20 bills that preempted local authority. Some of it land use, some of it permitting, just some really tough bills. And so anyway, I won't report on them all, and maybe I'll write this up in a quick council email that you can refer to, but some positive things about the session are that it looks like the animal control tax levy, which is a bill SB 104 by Weiler, it looks like it'll pass, which allows, it will allow Davis County to do a, it will allow us to move forward to put a unified animal control service together and a taxing district. And so, and by the way, if we do that, all the cities will reduce their property tax rates. So for the public, there will be a no net increase in property tax payments. But that's a good change that's really happening. So anyway, the rest of these bills, anyway, maybe I will write them up for you. Let me just give you a quick update on COVID. I think I told you that we have all of our city employees working regular shifts again together, both here in the office and elsewhere. You know, our numbers are falling in the county, as you know. We are having a planning meeting related to Liberty Fest. I really don't know if we are going to be able to go forward with it, but we're having a planning meeting anyway.
We should go forward with it.
I
Based on what I've seen, the other city.
I meant by that statement was, I don't know if the state of Utah will continue to have a prohibition on that.
We should go forward with it.
Yeah, well, didn't the governor just announce he's not wearing his mask on July 4th?
Yeah, he's blowing it up, what he said.
Yeah, so we got a plan. The best direction we're getting from the top is that we're going to be all open by July 4th.
Yeah,
we got to go with it.
As I said, we're having our planning.
That's July 4th, not July 3rd, though. Oh, my
God. Yeah, we're July 2nd and 3rd. And then just one thing on the Parks Subcommittee for Hatch Park. We have had two really successful meetings. We've had three great meetings with Hatch Park. We've done a lot of interesting work. I gave the committee a little bit of a homework assignment with a book that I'm going to give four of you who don't have this book. So let me just walk around and give it to you. This book is an interesting book, and I think now is a good time for you to read it. It's an easy read.
Now you have to repeat everything you just said in the microphone, Ken.
Thanks for the reminder. So I don't need to say a whole lot about that book, other than it's not a political agenda, even though some of that book will sound like it comes from one side of the political spectrum, and that's not my intention at all. My intention was really to do what I did with the Parks Committee, which was to get people thinking about the changes we are making in North Salt Lake having an impact on residents and on communities and on neighborhoods and on how people feel about their living environment and their working environment. And it's very interesting to read. Some of it is nonsense, maybe, but some of it isn't. So hopefully, if you have a minute, it's an easy read. And that's all I think I'll say. I have more, but it's late. So,
all right. I closed my iPad. I'm not sure what the agenda says, but I think we're done.
I think we're done.
Is there a motion to adjourn?
Mr. Mayor, motion to adjourn.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, we're done. Thank you all. It's good seeing you.
It's really
good. Sorry I kept you so long.
Man, it's really good to be together, I have to say.
Yeah. Have a good night, guys.
Stupid masks.
Bye.
Good night, all.
And we'll see you back here at 9 a.m. Saturday. By the way, we will have lunch Saturday, too. We'll have.
What's left?
So. Yeah, I think we'll just do this. Is that all right?
And like we wear.
Oh yeah.
Oh, this right here.
Yeah, it's Saturday. Saturday attire.